dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else. The afterworld. A world of never-ending happiness. You can always see the sun, day or night. So when you call up that shrink in Beverly Hills, you know the one. Doctor, everything will be alright. Instead of asking how much of your time is left, ask him how much of your mind, baby. Cause in this life, things are much harder than in the afterworld. This life, you're on your own. And if the elevator tries to break you down,
happy hump day, everyone. Welcome to another episode on the Duane Marrero podcast. This is your host, Duane Marrero. This is episode 175. Joining me at WJOB studio with the one and only Jim D'Lo. And my guest today is Alejandro Fletes, who is the Crown Point owner of Sip Coffee House. A pleasure to have you on.
Oh, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it very much.
Jimmy didn't believe me when I told him you was the owner. And probably one of the youngest owners in the region.
Yeah.
How old are you?
24. So.
Man, that's young.
Yeah.
He came to the door. Duane told me, he's like, hey, you know, this guy's coming in. He's kind of young. I didn't realize that you look younger than most of these engineering students that walk in all the time, man.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. I feel old at heart, but.
So you're an old soul?
Oh, yeah. I'm up. Let me tell you, I'm up at 5 a.m. I go to bed at 8 p.m.
What's wrong with you? I just met you and you got some sort of malfunction in your character. Oh, I do that, but I'm 61 years old and I've been you know what? I've been doing it since I was 24 years old. That's when I start.
Good.
It never goes away.
Yeah.
You're going to be up at I get up at 4 to do the morning show.
Yeah, sometimes.
So, hey, thanks for letting me come on your podcast.
Anytime. He's my co-host, too, Alejandro.
For a little while, but you see, he's got, like, this extremely fast-growing podcast. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I'm the sidekick, you know what I mean?
I double-text him.
Fiddle.
Guess how I got him to come, just like John Picotti. I double-text him in the in the DM.
Yep.
The first one, he just read it, and then I just left him my number the second text.
No, I appreciate that.
Like he was my girlfriend or something. So I'm like, okay, let me send him another message.
I can't
to let
handle
him know.
No.
Yeah, I don't go for no. So the same instance with John was the same him. So I called him last night at 9 just to confirm.
Well, way to go. I never do. I had a governor candidate and a mayor candidate and some other people today, and I never confirm, and that's a problem. You know, sometimes people forget or they got the day wrong or something like that. So that's good stuff.
Well,
but, you know, hey, 175 podcasts?
Yeah. Goal is 200 before I hit 30.
Wow.
That's a big deal. Hey, you know, I'm only going to be here a little while, so I'll talk a little bit. So you own the Crown Point one?
Yes.
And who owns the other ones then?
Her name is Rhonda Black.
Okay. And how did you get involved with her?
It's a long, long story. I'll try and keep it brief, but I interviewed her for a business class for college and entrepreneurship.
Here at PNW or IU?
I went to IU Bloomington.
Oh, okay.
And
sorry to hear that.
And so
you see all the black and gold around here.
Hey, my sister went to Purdue. We're not full IU.
Literally, the couch is gold. This is a
enemy territory.
There's only one red and white thing that's allowed here. And if you guys are watching this, this will make sense. But if you're listening on the podcast, it's the Strachan Van Til logo. That's all that gets red and white in here. But I'm sorry. I don't mean to block you in. Go ahead. Tell the story.
So I just interviewed her, asked her questions about being a business owner. And then nothing came of it. But I did it for a class. And one day I used to post latte art at home. I bought like this espresso machine and I would make latte art, and then someone must have told the sip or something, and then all of a sudden I see them view my story and then they're like, you want a job here? And that's like the very start of it. So I started off as the first cashier. I remember my first day, it took me an hour to figure out a fit because I was like, I want to be like the cool kids. And so that's how it really started. I mean, it just built over time. I remember I was terrified of her.
I've seen her in the Highland once. She's not terrifying.
It's like terrifying when
she's working. She's got a focus, laser focus, but I wouldn't say intimidating.
She's not. It's just I held her, you know, she was like a role model to me. It's like meeting like someone you've always like, it's weird. I was just like, dang, you own the sip.
Like when I found out what he does with WJOB.
Yeah.
He owns this. Yes.
It's probably exactly in the media space.
Yeah.
I tried to be intimidating. Rhonda doesn't do that. I'm kidding.
Yeah. No, she's a sweetheart. It just, when I first met her, I was like, oh, here's this big person and I'm just a little kid. But I worked for five, almost 6 years.
This was high school when you started.
Yeah, I would come back. I would go back to college, and then the summers and breaks, I'd always work.
At which one? At the Crown Point one?
At the Crown Point one, yes.
So you're working for SIP for 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. That's a big step to become owner or co-owner or whatever it is.
Complete owner.
Complete owner. Of an existing business at 24 years old, you got to tell people, how do you make that leap to from cashier or working there to owning it? I mean,
honestly, it was a lot of sacrifice in college, a lot of sacrifice. I worked a ton, saved every dollar. I would hate to say it, but I was like a penny pincher. And what I'd do is I'd invest. I didn't like watching my bank account go down in college and nothing come in. So I learned a lot about investing, self-taught, just over time. I even started off with penny stocks and learned why that's a horrible mistake. But and then it just kept going. You know, I kept having over time learning how to invest. And basically, I did a lot of sacrifices younger when I was younger so I could take risk later on and have a safety net.
So what is that conversation like? Do you approach Rhonda or does she approach you or what?
She brought it up once before, but I approached her. There was a point where I was kind of getting comfortable with my job. And I was like, you know what? I started liquidating stocks. I'm like, I have a, you know, huge portfolio being liquidated. I'm like, I'm ready to start my own coffee shop tomorrow. But I was like, you know what? Might as well not leave a stone unturned. This is the coffee shop that made me want to open up my own. So I pitched it to her. I was like, do you want to grab some lunch? And then I just pitched it to her. I'm like, listen, I'm interested in buying the sip. Are you interested in selling it to me? So that's how that conversation went. And it went well.
Never know till you ask, right?
Yeah, I was shocked. I was very... very much.
So describe, you've been there, right?
Yeah.
I've
seen him a handful of times. I never approached him because he was working, and I saw Alex Nicola, who we had on a while ago, do his podcast, and I was like, okay, I'm going to meet that guy. And I just spoke it to existence because I've been eyeing you for a minute because I'm like, man, I've been watching you operate, followed you on social media, and I knew I wanted to pivot because I like coffee. I bring Jim coffee, and to your point, being 24, what was those conversations like with your peers in college? Because the average student now, I was talking about Gen Zers, right? You know, they want to party, live in that moment, but you penny pinched and kind of invested for the future.
What those conversations were
with
in
your
college?
Friends? Yeah.
You didn't have any money to go out with if you're saving it all.
I mean, I went out here and there. I always struggled with,
discipline?
No, I'm pretty well disciplined, but like rewarding myself.
Really?
Like, oh, let me treat myself.
I think we've talked about Gen Zers.
Yeah.
They don't put off any rewards. You know what I mean? You're against the grain there.
I just had a freelancer because I hire freelancers to cover basketball games in the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And it's a girls game tonight, one of the top rated girls games in the East Coast. And the kid just canceled on me because he wanted to go to a boys game. And I'm paying him $300.
Wow.
For that game. But my point is with Gen Zers, if they don't like doing something, they're just going to go do it no matter the money.
Yeah, that's a lot of the pushback. I mean, I had a lot of friends that were very supportive. They were like hands off, like, oh, you do what you need to do. There's a lot of people, though, that are also like, you live in the now completely. I mean, just a lot of people were like, you're ridiculous, penny pitching. Why? You know, stocks, I was called a gambler, like a nerd. Not like a lot. I don't want to seem like I was ever bullied. I thrived in college and thriving now. But it was just a very negative tone. Like, oh, why would you do that? And this is before the whole GameStop saga that brought, or crypto, which I don't touch crypto, but a lot of people came into the whole investing scene. But I remember I used to say that. I'm like, this is going to be popular one day. People are going to realize, wow, there is a lot of money to be made out there. Because I thought before that money was very scarce. I was like, oh, it's very hard to get money. I need to be a doctor to get money to start a coffee shop. But then you learn in the markets. I mean, real estate, you know, stock market, bonds, you could literally make money in like, or lose money in seconds. So a lot of the people, my peers, were either just like, oh, great job, that's good for you, let's step back. And there was a lot of people that are just like little remarks like, oh, weird old man, or, you know, you're just gambling at this point, or
So you're 24 years old and you got the coffee shop in Crown Point. I have not been there. Describe it.
Well, I was telling Rob how I looked at it. One was just, okay, one had to have an open mind, open perspective of going in, because it wasn't like I'm going to see none of my friends here who are athletes. Like, yeah. I play basketball in Europe and play locally here, and then I'm in the digital marketing space on the internet all day. Mm-hmm. And I run a lot of social media accounts, right? And my job is to make sure they surge on the platform. So I have an open mind. But I looked at it like a community where kids can go there, do homework, right? Mm-hmm. Break bread. I'm meeting, let's say, Alex Nicola there at the coffee shop. It was local because I'm an assistant at Bosco, and I would go there first before practice because we used to practice at the square.
Yeah.
And so I go in there. First, I thought it was dark, but then I had to open my mind. I was like, well, maybe this is an emo coffee shop, right? Then I'm like, man, I see the paintings, and I see how business is steady flowing. And it just had really good coffee, right? Yeah. But that was my perspective first time going in with my background of being in the sports world. Mm-hmm. Because you've never seen so many pictures being painted. I've never seen so many people enjoy being there right after school.
Yeah.
That's how I described it. Maybe it was vague, but how would you describe it?
I would describe it as like eclectic, very bright, bunch of different colors. I mean, every mug is like totally different, you know, with different patterns. All the art is local. So it's just local artists making the art. We sell it for free. We don't charge any commission. I don't know. I think in the winter it's like a lot more dark. But in the summer it's like the colors pop. We have outdoor furniture. It's like bustling. We get a whole variety of people. Usually in afternoons we get kids that study, but during the day it's like people having business meetings, people just going out to eat, families catching up. I would just say if I described the sip in one word, it's just very colorful.
Alejandro Fletis, am I saying that mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And if you guys are watching this or catching it some other time, we're recording on March 1st, 2023. I'm just the guest. Co-host that comes in for like 15 minutes and then Dewan asks me to leave, which is what he's going to do here in a few minutes.
People are very open when they go there, right? I've seen all walks of life in SIP.
Yeah.
You know, from the queer community, black, white, no matter what color, everyone's there just having a great vibe. And here's an example, obviously.
That's what it looks like right there? If you guys are on
That's the one podcast. In Highland.
That's the Highland one,
but
right?
You can have an idea.
Well, that's the Crown Point one.
That's
Crown
yours, Point? Right?
That's the
like a old version.
That's an older version of
yeah.
it?
Yeah, so now it's painted like green and orange and yellow, a lot brighter colors. But
Where'd
yeah.
you grow up?
I grew up in Crown Point.
Went to Crown Point High?
Yep. Born and raised here.
And you went straight. Did you go to SPIA, Kelly, or what'd you study down at IU?
I studied biotechnology and biochemistry.
Biotechnology, and you run in a coffee shop?
It's because I was down the path of pre-med. I was like, I'm going to go to med school. I thought I had to do that. And then people would be like, why do you want to be a doctor? And I'm like, to own a coffee shop. And they're like, that's backwards. With a minor in business. So while I was at college, I started realizing I really like business. And it was not even like necessarily small business, but I you know, if I wasn't a doctor and didn't own the SIP, I'd probably be like an investment banker down Kelly path.
Kelly's the business school down there, yeah.
Yeah.
And Purdue's now is now Mitch Daniels Business School. I don't know if you saw that. Yeah.
My sister graduated from there.
Yeah, she graduated from Krannert, and now it's, I think, Mitch Daniels or whatever.
Yeah, she said that they were, like, adding more to their business.
So I got a short story. Is that
please.
I did that path that you're talking about. I traded at the Board of Trade for 18 years. Mm-hmm. Did the stocks and all the bonds and futures in the pits. And then I'm like, all right, I'm done. So I'm 40 years old, and I go, what do I want to do? Well, I go, I'll open a coffee shop. Mm-hmm. So I opened a coffee shop in downtown Hammond. It was called Steel Toe Joe. I didn't drink coffee until I was like 38 years old. And then all of a sudden I discovered it, and I was really into it. I used to go up to Intelligentsia and taste the different ones and go to some of the I'd go to the Bay Area in California, and I really got into it. So I started a coffee shop, and I was still trading, and I bought WJOB, so my heart wasn't fully in it. But I can tell you that was some of my best times in business, is just kind of standing behind the counter and making the lattes and making the cappuccinos and learning how to grind all of the beans and so forth. But it starts to me, and then after a while I wasn't getting much traction. I bought WJOB and I left, and I just said, all right, I'm done. I still have all the logos and all the cups and all that stuff. But to me, I looked around and I go, well, first you got to be all in, and that's got to be what you're doing. And that was just a sidelight for me. But before any of that, you really just got to be into coffee.
Yeah.
And I was, and I am now, so is DeJuan. But your love for coffee, what parts of it do you like the most?
What parts of it?
I mean, are you the fancy drink guy, or are you the black coffee with the different gradations? Because there's all sorts of different things. I'm the black coffee guy. I don't want a latte. I don't want a cappuccino. I don't want an espresso. I want the best bean, and I don't want you to grind it until you're going to make it fresh. But, I mean, I could tell. I'm going to go to my daughter's, and she's got some Jamaican Blue Mountain that she just got. I can't wait to taste it. But I don't want all that other stuff. So where are you, the fancy drink guy or what?
You know what? I started off with the lattes. I love the honey bee, honey vanilla. I love lavender. I don't like as much fruity flavors. Like cherry or
I got the lover boy.
Oh, the lover boy.
Yeah, I got the lover boy.
What's the lover boy?
It was just like chocolate. What is
hazelnut
it?
Hazelnut and caramel.
Yeah.
Too much sweet, man.
That's why I didn't get a donut. That's why I didn't get a donut or a muffin. I'm a fetish for like blueberry muffins.
Yeah. You know what's funny about that is this is a cringe moment, but when I was working like 2 or 3 years ago, I used to promote that drink, and I'm like, oh, I'm the lover boy.
Yeah.
And then Drake came out with the lover boy certified, and I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Should have trademarked it, right? Or copyright. Yeah. He'd have to pay you.
But going on, I start off with lattes, and I drink black coffee now. I do drink, you know, sugary lattes very randomly, more as like a reward or like having fun. Let's just say, you know, windows roll down, it's beautiful out, I'll have a nice iced latte with a little bit of something, half sweet. But every day I drink a cup of black coffee. I had a cup of black coffee literally in my car right now.
Hot?
Yep.
Because?
Just straight, nothing in it.
All right, so here's another one. I'm not I don't like iced coffee at all. I mean, people get, you know, I'll say, hey, just give it to me black. And then they'll come back and they'll give me a black iced coffee. I'm like, what part of coffee don't you understand? Coffee is meant to be drank hot.
Yeah.
And that is not the case. My daughter's a big coffee person with me. Everything's on ice. Everything. And I'm like, when did all this change? Now I go in there and my nieces are in college. Hey, can you pick something up? Three drinks. Iced. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's a generational thing or whatever, but do you guys sell a lot of iced or mostly hot?
You know, what's funny about that is I would say statistically iced.
Really?
We sell more. Probably because the younger generations. I mean, it's pretty close, but we definitely sell more iced. So people like iced. It's more. I am a drinker that, you know, drinks hot coffee year round. Doesn't mean it matter if it's 90 degrees outside, and I know people that drink iced coffee, it's 0 degrees out, and they're like,
This makes no sense. And not only that, they're not respecting tradition. Hey, so I only get so much time before Dewan boots me out of here, but so tell us about your family.
Like what aspect?
Yeah, like parents and, got any siblings or anything?
Because I know Dad's a doctor. I listened to a podcast that he did, so Dad's a doctor.
Your dad's a doctor? What kind of doctor?
A physician.
Okay, so he's a physician. And
my mom stays at home. There's five of us kids, and I'm the oldest. So my mom stays at home and takes care of them.
Oh, so there's kids that are still in high school and stuff?
Yeah, but they're all about to all...
Do they work in your place?
Actually, both at one time. I have two little brothers that are twins. Worked at one time, but now I just have one working for me occasionally.
How's that go?
It's good. I always feel bad because I feel like I'm extra harsh on people. I usually try not to hire anyone I know. So I'm like, I feel like I'm a little too hard on them because I'm like worried that like people are going to be like, oh, you're being soft on him because... You know, he's your brother, so I have, like, higher expectations. But he does a great job. I mean, he's got the Fletes work ethic. He's just, like, keeps his head down, gets stuff done.
Fletes, what is – so that's your dad's name then. Mm-hmm. Where is he from?
East Chicago. Both my parents are both from
Chicago.
That's
what I thought. I was going to say that. And what's your mom's maiden name?
Garza.
So she's a Garza from EC. What part of EC do you know? Like Calumet or Little Calumet, North Side, Harbor, anything like that?
I think it was the Harbor.
Yeah, so your dad's originally from the Harbor, right? Is that right? Fletus or no?
I don't recall. I'm trying to remember. I know exactly where he lived. He lived by like right by the bar, Charlie's Tuna. But I'm trying to remember what aspect, where that was.
Okay, yeah, I think that would actually be East Chicago. So it's Alejandro Fletus. So you've got the region pedigree. Parents out of EC, dad becomes a doctor, you move to Crown Point. Mm-hmm. That is the region way to do it, right? You grow up in EC, Gary, and Hammond. Next thing you know, you're living in Crown Point, and the next generation is going to be living in Demote.
he's a grinder.
Hey, I want to say it was nice to meet you. I'll be into your thing again. The rotation, if you know, I'm the owner here, and I host the morning show, and I've been on for like 4 hours. So I sit with Dewan for a little bit, and then I leave. But I'm honored to sit on your 175th podcast.
Oh, I'm honored to have Alejandro here. Like I said, I had to double-text him because he read my first text, and I was like, okay, let me just leave my number so he could text me, right? And so he responded, and I asked him for his contact information so I could call him. Then he forgot to confirm that he was coming, so I called him at like 9:30 at night last night.
And so you realize how little he gets to North County because he was lost driving up and down Indianapolis Boulevard. That's
to defend myself, I've been exploring a lot of the parts of the region I've never explored. So I've been like exploring Whiting, other parts of Hammond.
Hammond's huge. Scouting for locations.
Yeah. Chesterton.
Yes.
I mean, I've been to Valpo a lot, but just the whole region.
You know what's missing? A coffee shop? Like you're doing? Hammond.
Yeah, that's right.
It really is.
Yeah,
and not
no,
only that.
I'm just scared I'm going to give things away. I'm like,
No, listen. And not only that, they've got a really good economic development, and they've got grant money, especially if you're going into disadvantaged areas or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to have you. I don't want you taken away from Rhonda over here in downtown Highland, but, you know, if you were down up and down the boulevard right here, the reason I say that is you got P&W right here, and I've thought of it. I'm like, man, should I reopen another coffee shop? I don't want to do that. I got this digital company and everything. But I'll tell you what, there are so many people on that campus that really don't really have the they go to SIP.
Yeah, downtown. I gotta go to Highland. For me, is Rhonda white or black? I'm not sure.
She's white.
She's white. So for me, I would be going like to a minority owned company, right? So what I do for work, it's a minority owned company, and one of the partners is a woman, and we have these conversations, candid conversations about just supporting, right? Supporting different people, and your background being from East Chicago, I have roots as a Marrero, and they stay in the harbor. I went to the Boys and Girls Club growing up in the harbor. Mm-hmm. And
Deodore. 138th and Deodore?
Yep.
I think so. Anyways,
back in the day. So I would love to like support a minority company here in Hammond to get coffee, right? Instead of me going to Highland because I don't want a cop to pull me over. I'm nervous driving in Highland. Yeah. When I got pulled over leaving the yoga studio because I didn't have my seatbelt on. But that was before I got tinted windows. So now since I got tinted windows, I've never got a ticket because of my seatbelt.
What do you mean? You don't wear your seatbelt?
When my windows weren't tinted, I didn't have my seatbelt on. But I had just finished from yoga. We do hot yoga together here in Schererville. Mm-hmm. So instead of me going to Highland, I have to be extra careful driving in those part of towns. But Hammond, I could just go across the street and not make a detour. So I would love for you to bring a sip of coffee in Hammond.
Yeah, right. Like I said.
As a matter of fact, when you're done here, walk down there and talk. Introduce them to Mont.
Yeah, I will.
Mont helps people do businesses and that have great ideas and so forth. Alejandro, it's nice to meet you.
It was nice meeting you.
East Chicago pedigree, Crown Point. We expect big things out of you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what? Before I go, what's the vision?
What's the vision? The vision for the SIP is I want it to be not necessarily like in and out, but I want it to be a Midwest thing. I want to take over in the long run. I want to have Indy. I want to have some in Chicago. I want some different variations. So like a cocktail sip after hours.
Like, remember I was telling Rob in Europe, because I had spent some time in Europe for work, and they go pregame at coffee shops, right? It's they have a black or a latte or black coffee with a bourbon or tequila or brew before they step out and go to the after hours evening setting.
Or like espresso martini.
That's what I get now. Besides the gin and tonic, I get the espresso.
Get you wired and get you a little buzz.
Espresso martini?
Yeah.
Really?
Never had one?
I never have.
Oh.
I mean, I like my coffee just hot and black.
Yeah,
I want my martini just chilled with vodka and maybe put an olive in there.
You should try espresso martini. Quarantino's in Chicago, best in the city.
All right, man.
Do you have to leave? I mean, can you stick around for 15 minutes?
I have to go. Yeah,
okay.
I got a new granddaughter.
Granddaughter.
And as a matter of fact, it's oddly ironic is that I'm supposed to be there right now to pick her up, and then I watch her for a good part of the day as my daughter runs this place. I'm going to actually take her to the Highland Sip.
Oh, very nice.
So hopefully Rhonda will be walking around. But I'll get out of your way. You know what? That's the first time you ever asked me to stay. Typically, he's like, hey, man, you got to get out of here.
He asks the questions that I don't think of, and then I just try to reciprocate that synergy.
One of the questions is funding to do all these great things that you're talking about. Before, walk him down to talk to Mont. That's what Mont does. He's like, you got a great idea. Let's go find some money.
Jimmy always told me one thing I've learned, because he was a sponsor of my basketball camp, was that people want to spend money.
Yeah.
That's what
he told me. They want to spend money, man. You just got to ask them.
You gotta give them
Mont knows where all of it is. Hey, man, I'll be in your place, and we'll see each other again. Yeah. Thanks for letting me on longer than normal.
This question right before you go. What are the chances, Alejandro, that I could be at least a fly on the wall to learn how to make a coffee from the grinder or make a latte?
What are the chances?
Yeah, like if I could just come in and you teach me when there's not so much of a busy day.
Oh, easy.
And WJOB could record it as obviously like
Tony Panic.
More advertisement, right? For
that's
SIP.
Easy. Yeah.
Duamaro goes in, become a barista for like half the day. Like just idea like that, because it will look. Other people in my community, right, in the sports community, will see like, hey, man, you got to get out your comfort zone if you want to make it. for the most part, right? Yeah, there's a lot of coffee. There's a lot of coffee lovers, and so I would love to be a barista and do customer service.
And Tony Panic will come out and record it and make it into a nice video. But can you do, before I leave, can you just do something for me in practice? Yeah. Can you say, can I take your order? Or what do you have people say?
Is there anything I could get started for you?
All right, let's see how you would do that. You got it all ready?
Well, I am persistent. My last two guests, I had to double text and triple text. But
is there anything I could get started for
you? Is there anything that I could get started for you?
It's all you got to do. And you got to do it with a smile, right?
What are you feeling today?
Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
All right, what is your way? I mean, say he doesn't have a specific script. Somebody walks up. What are you going to say? All right, I'm a young woman, 24 years old, like him, and she just walks up and she's looking at the menu. Yeah. What do you say to her?
Hey, what are you feeling today? It's a nice day outside.
There you go.
Hot or cold?
Oh, man, he's hired.
you know something? Just because when I hire freelancers, right, and when they think they're worth more than what I'm going to give them, I'd be like, hey, $200 flat fee on top of mileage, right? Mm-hmm. You'll get the most bang for your buck instead of telling me your fee and not Alan adding mileage to the drive to the game.
Yeah.
So I like to be stern and direct and not text when, obviously, I negotiate. I want to make the phone call because then it don't give you time to think.
Yeah.
That's why I called him, because I'm like, he can't deny me on this phone call.
Hey, man, a lot of talent in this room now, and I hate to leave it, but thank you for having me on.
Thanks, Jimmy. I appreciate it. I've learned a ton from Jimmy when I started 2019. Mm-hmm. And he remembers back when I didn't give him an autograph in 2010. That's how clear his memory is. And so from media, asking thoughtful questions that you can elaborate, I learned it from him. Mm. Asking the uncomfortable conversations, I learned it from him, because I always thought I had to be politically correct for the most part. But people appreciate you when you're organic. Mm-hmm. And because I have a question, that's a question for a lot of more people who don't have the platform to ask that question.
Yeah.
So like the business mindset that you have, how lonely is it? Because there's a 1%ers who have these thoughts and ideas, and you really can't share that with everyone, because not everyone will understand. But what channeled that business mindset of yours?
What channeled it? It's a hard one. I'm trying to think specifically.
Because I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I love ownership, and the company I work for is Paragon Marketing. Mm-hmm. And Raj Ghazi's an unbelievable boss, and I'm on the ESPN unit. So I cover all the basketball talent within the country, girls, just all sporting events that you see on TV at Paragon. But he talks about ownership, and he talks about having a business mindset to continue to move forward and grow, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I wanted to know, like, because I'm 29 and I'm learning every day, but you're 24 and you have this business mindset, and when did that motor just start?
I would say, I mean, I hate to say it, but probably college, just because I didn't know much about business. Mm-hmm. I talk about stocks nonstop because it's my passion on the side. And the reason why it's tied to the SIP and why that's my passion also is I like to run it. Like, if I wanted to invest in this company and looked at the SIP, would I want to invest in it? Like, is it running, profitable? You know, has a unique traits. That's what drives me to improve the place. Trying to think, but yeah.
Do you listen to podcasts?
Yes. Usually they're more though. More like just how to treat yourself.
Yeah, I'm listening to more health podcasts. Right, I try not to listen to things that I know.
Yeah.
Right. I listen to a lot of sports, of course, but I try to listen to how to manage my money, finance, and health, because health wasn't talked about enough in my household.
Yeah.
Single parent household. I'm the only child. So it's just like, as a Puerto Rican family, you're just getting nonstop food till you're full. And then as you get older, it's like, okay, how can I, you know, eat more efficiently?
Yeah.
How much coffee do I need to digest? So, like, I had this, and I feel like I got to go run. It's a nice day out. Do you work out?
Yes.
Where at?
The YMCA in Crown Point.
Nice.
It's a nice one. I'm like, dang.
I don't like the – I was an Omni member.
Okay.
And I like to pay for the company you keep. Mm-hmm. And it's just so many people from Illinois come over to the YMCA now in Schererville.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, I wish they bring the Y back. Rob has been hearing our conversation. Rob, what's some questions that you have for Alejandro, if you do?
So one of the biggest ones, you know, you said you talked about potentially coming to Hammond with another shop. And I'm actually currently a PNW student, where I think that would actually be very beneficial. Like Jim said, you know, we don't really have somewhere to come to go hang out, study, do plenty of things. And, you know, you brought up about having, you know, certain designs for each one. If you were to maybe think about doing one around here in Hammond, what would you think about doing? You know, would you make it, you know, I know you said you're an IU guy, but would you think about making it like a Purdue type thing? Would you think about having just a full theme maybe around Hammond? I don't want you to give up too many ideas, but like, what would you think about, you know, pushing some things for a lot of college students?
Well, if I open up a location, obviously based off the demographic, I would probably have it a little bit bigger with the goal of keeping it cozy. So a lot more seats, maybe some booths so more people could study, because sometimes like Crown Point's very small. I'd probably have some Purdue stuff in the art and allow the students post their art up like how the other ones do it. Probably do some special deals and be more active in Purdue North, like the Purdue College. But I wouldn't say like we'd be like themed completely Purdue. But yeah.
No, I appreciate that, Rob. Any more, feel free to flow in, Rob. Because Rob has a lot of ideas also, and I spoke highly of you mm-hmm. when you were coming in, and I wanted to make sure, like I said, this is an open, candid conversation, right? Yeah. That's why I was like, man, I'll just get to know you on air instead of asking you questions that I wanted to ask you live. Yeah. What are some things that you get to do or you do for fun outside of business?
Completely outside of business.
Yeah, what are some hobbies that you have?
Really, like, honestly, I don't play video games.
Oh, okay.
I got rid of that just because I'm so busy. I really like exploring areas. So I love just going the middle of nowhere, let's say I went to Whiting for a day, and I'm like, all right, let me just go to the local places, explore. I like going to Indy for a day.
Nice.
I do it pretty often, go to Chicago all the time, exploring the different neighborhoods in the north or like West Loop.
What do you think about their coffee shops out there? Do you kind of like try to compare, or do you just look at their ambiance? Because each cafe that they have downtown is unique in their own way.
Yeah, I don't go to downtown as much anymore because it's a lot more corporate. I go more to the north side, like Boys Town, Lakeview East, Lincoln Park, Logan Square. But honestly, I do get a lot of inspiration from them, how I want to run the SIP.
Yeah.
Because they're so organized. There's very little room for error because rent and expenses are so high. You think of the minimum wage there is a lot higher.
Right.
So I'm like, how can they afford this and still make a profit and try and copy and paste that to the SIP so I could pay the employees more?
Right.
Now, there's a way. If people in Chicago are able to do it, we should be able to do it in Indiana.
Got you. Now, I mean, I didn't mean to cut you off, but yeah, I wanted to hear more about, like, if, like I said, if that was it, your hobbies, like, explore any sports. Are you a fan of sports? Do you have a sports team or not necessarily?
No. Not at all. I used to play soccer, but nice. I'm not into I don't watch TV. I'm, like I said, an old man. I'm just
laser focus.
Always working. That's why I felt bad for not responding right away, because my messages are just exploding, and I'm always...
I'm on the internet all day, so I totally understand.
I go through like several rounds, so I view everything and then go through another round and respond.
Any books you're currently reading, or who's your mentor, and who do you get some, you know, sound advice that you would say?
Honestly, Rhonda. Besides that, I didn't really have any mentors, which is weird because growing up, I was very insecure and self-doubted myself every decision I made. And even now, sometimes I'm like, what do you guys think about this? Like, I got my ears pierced. I'm like, what do you guys think?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I should just do it if I want it. So I kind of eventually became my own mentor.
Nice.
It's kind of weird. It's like with like learning about finance and business, none of my family members are in business at all. Know very much about it.
Same.
I kept grabbing. I'm like, please, I need someone. I want someone to like tell me I'm doing the right thing or I'm going down the right path. And then eventually, you know, like I said, Rhonda helps me with the SIP so much.
Do you think Rhonda do the podcast?
Yeah.
You think she'll be open to like
Had
a candid conversation? I may have seen her.
Think she would.
Like I when I went in the Crown Point one and I saw you working and I was like, I put two and two together. I was like, I'll circle back with them. But I wanted to put an eye.
Yeah, you should definitely ask her, or I could ask her.
Yeah.
She has an interesting past. So
really?
You should ask her a lot about that.
Like I said, outside of just, you know, the community where I grew up in was the sports community, basketball. I used to have athletes, right? And then I sprinkled in two coaches. Because I only talk to my teammates about the adversity, the highs and lows that life in basketball brings, because the ball stopped bouncing at some point.
Yeah.
Then I pivoted into just coaches, and then from coaches, I started to transition into just leadership in general. So, like, my podcast, it doesn't say sports, it says society and culture.
Yeah.
Because I want to talk to all trailblazers, because everyone has their unique story, and creating this platform was to help other athletes like, hey, I could give you a platform of all information for free. Mm-hmm. And you could use that as a reference.
Yeah.
So I appreciate it that you took time out of your day.
No, I appreciate you having me. It's always fun.
Rob, any more questions you want to ask Alejandro before we dip?
Yeah, I got one more. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that, you know, as Jim was saying earlier, DeJuan's podcast is getting plenty of listeners, not only here, but, you know, at this point around the country. What would you have to say to a lot of young people who would think about, you know, following your path, want to be, you know, a young owner of a business? You know, you started at the company and ended up buying one of the spots there. So what would you, you know, get any advice, anything that you would say to the young people who think your story is amazing?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. I have a couple. But
great
I'm
question, Rob.
Go with the big one. I'll go with two of my best advice I've learned. Is one, if it was easy, I know everyone's heard this, but it's true. If it was easy, everyone would do it. I know why not every 24-year-old owns a restaurant. It is rough. I remember I was like down and out. You know, people were like, you look like you're dying, like just bags. I was pale. But if it was easy, everyone would do it. That's just how it always goes. The second is you need to believe in yourself. A lot of people will tell you no. A lot of people will make you self-doubt yourself. You got to get to a point, specialize in something that you enjoy to where you can go through it. Like a lot of people, I don't know how to describe it. You got to believe in yourself, in the thing you specialize in, and just double down on it. Because no matter what in life, people will tell you no. Oh, that's gambling. I was told, you know, gambling. Oh, you own a coffee shop. Well, like, that's crazy. You're going to get burnt out. Oh, you know, when I talk about opening one up in Chicago one day, people are like, oh, you're not going to last. Taxes, all, you know, they list off everything that's going to stop you. But it's like, you just got to do it. Everyone listed everything that stopped me from opening up a coffee shop. So those are like my two advices.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate it. Like I said, Rob produces for me, does a terrific job. Learned a ton from Rob, Jimmy, and having you here inspires me a lot. And I hopefully the listeners that tune in, they get inspired, right?
Yeah.
To stay true to themselves, stay 10 toes down, and just go for it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if it screws up, the hell with it. Keep moving on.
Yeah. And sometimes you got to not take risk so you can take risk.
Right.
That's how it goes. I mean, yeah, but if you're listening right now and, like, working on something or nervous to take a leap of faith, do it. I mean, obviously be smart with it. Don't, you know, think about it, but do it. You know, you got to have faith in yourself. You got to take that leap. Another advice real quick is comfort. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
It gets me all the time. You get too comfortable.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people's dreams and hopes die, or why not everyone opens up a business, or why not everyone does this or that or do the dream job. I see it a lot, especially with older like as you get older, they're just like, oh, I really wanted to do this, but I'm fine here. And I'm like,
right.
So comfort's the enemy.
Yeah, get out your comfort zone.
You could have a little bit of comfort. You know, it's nice to finally be like, oh, I could relax for a minute.
Right.
But the problem is you get used to it. And you're like, oh, this is my favorite house. This is my favorite job. Or you got to always switch it up.
What, Rob, to just piggyback off what Alejandro said, how important is it to get out your comfort zone and try to tackle what you want to do, you know, limiting the distractions of people's opinions because they could stop you from doing what you want to do?
I think that's very important, you know. I think around here, especially in Northwest Indiana, a lot of people do become comfortable. You see it with a lot of our older relatives. You know, I bring it up to my mom all the time. I have only a semester left of college. I'm looking to move anywhere in the country where they could provide me a job, especially, you know, in media. There's so many good places in the country that you can do. And, you know, she's always like, you know, that's not, you know, got to stay here. You got to know where your family's at. You got to know where this is at. But you can't be afraid, you know, to take that leap. You have to take the leap. If you have belief in yourself, you can go out and do anything you want if you follow your dreams. And like you said, if you stay comfortable, you're not going to do that. If you're uncomfortable and you're confident, I think you can really do anything you want.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that note. There you guys have it. Coffee Sip owner in Crown Point, Indiana, Alejandro Fretes. Thank you so much for coming on episode 175.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it very much.
Black hair and your fat ass style. Street poetry is my everyday. But yo, I gotta stop when you drop my weight. If I was working at the club, you would not pay. Ayo, my man Fife Diggy, he got something to say.
I like him brown, yellow, Puerto Rican, and Haitian. Name is Fife Dawg.